The conference has been muted.
Alrighty, guys. So the purpose of this call is I'm going to have Pat go through one of the things that she has been doing that she's found some success in as far as database marketing in her area. And once she gets done with that, I'd like for the lines to be opened up and have a Q&A for Pat on what she just went through and go through anything that you'd like to know further about her topic. And then from there, I'd like for whoever's out there to speak up and talk about either something similar that they've done or maybe a completely different initiative that they've found is working well for their area. So I'm going to go ahead and let Pat start us off, and then we'll open up the lines for Q&A and discussion afterwards. So, Pat, it's all yours.
Thank you, Megan. And thanks, everybody, for joining us today. I think I know everybody that's on the call, but there's a couple of names on that have signed in that I don't know. I'm Pat Deering, and I'm here in the Tampa, Orlando markets. Been with FranNet for about 8 years, and I've been doing database marketing and certainly marketing to my database almost since the beginning. And we started this year doing taking an old idea and trying to freshen it up. To entice our the leads and the to reactivate some of the leads in our database. So I know a lot of you are doing a lot of really good things, and I get some of your emails, and I really want to hear your ideas. But I'm going to start today just sharing with you what we're doing, a little bit about what we're doing, how we're doing it, some of the results that we've had. And then, again, my presentation will be very short. I do have Diane, who works with me, that does marketing and kind of does a lot of the logistics and setting things up for us. She's on the call today as well. So I think her line is muted, but so she'll be able to answer questions at the end as well if you have any technical questions. I know what we're doing and that sort of thing, but she's actually doing the lead pages and the YouTube and that sort of thing. So just to get started, in our database, we have all of our contacts and all of our leads assigned to a group. And this allows us to be specific about the different messages that we send out to individual groups. We send out on a regular basis 3 emails every month to our database. At the beginning of the month, we send out all of our events, the national events as well as everything that we have local, and we send that to our entire database. We do that, I say the first week of the month. We watch and see when the first events are, and, you know, people don't sign up for things until just a few days before, so we usually send that out in the first week of the month. And then, and again, that goes to the entire database. The second week of the month, we send out just to our leads, our prospects and previous prospects, as we call them in our database, or current and dead leads, only our local events. And specifically, if we're doing a local seminar or we're doing our local lunch and learn, which we've been doing, again, for the last year. And then 2 days before our local event, we send in a last chance, you know, last chance to register email, and that goes out to the entire database. Again, every email that we send out is focused on an offering of a seminar or a webinar. We are sending targeted messages to specific groups. And the other thing I would also say is that when we started this, we stopped sending the newsletter on a regular basis because we were getting more opt-outs. We wanted to focus on the seminars and webinars. And we're using the newsletter. We've been trying to, you know, watch the articles and that sort of thing and use those in social media versus an email to our database. But, again, we started doing Lunch and Learns last year. Many of you have done them. They're webinars, but I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what we've done. And some of the things, we had some unexpected results, and a couple of our goals we didn't, or one of our goals we didn't reach, although we're beginning to see that goal, we're beginning to see some new leads come in. We do this on a monthly basis. We run it for 30 minutes, 12:15 to 12:45. It's usually the third week of the month. We try to space it out away from the National FranNet webinars, and so we watch that, and we space it out away from other events that we have going. We use ReadyTalk, and we customize the registration page. Everything that we do on this is about, this is local, and we stress the local aspect of it. So on your ReadyTalk page, you can put your logo. We use the picture that we have on our Facebook page of my team. We have our story locally. So, again, it's all customized. It doesn't look like just ReadyTalk out there. So it really does look like something that we're doing here in Florida. We're using lead pages for advertisements and flyers and things of that nature. The presentation is 20 minutes by the franchisor, 10 minutes for Q&A. We mute the lines for the recording during the presentation, and then we open it up again for questions, so we unmute the lines. One thing that I always do, Diane, who works with me, kind of runs the behind the scenes like Megan is doing today and makes sure everything is in place. What she does is I give her questions so that we have a question to get started with. I see, Stacy, I know you've got a question about a lead page. We'll answer that. Diane will be on the, she'll be in the Q&A, and she can address how you work with that as we get to that. But again, we ask questions. So I have questions ready to ask so that we don't have that silence. And so we start by having one or two targeted questions, and we always end up getting questions from the audience as a result of getting that going. I do a brief introduction. These are companies that are excited about coming to our area, and they're growing, and you know, we stress the local aspect. I keep that is very important to us. We upload the recording to our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube account, and we upload it. It's unlisted, so they have to have the link to get that. But we send the recording out to everybody who registers. We find that to be a great way to, you know, as you know, not everybody who registers is going to be online, but we treat them just like they were there. So we go ahead and we send that recording out to everybody who registers. We also send the ZOR, the listing of those people that registered as our referrals at the end. So, and this is, we're following up with everybody. So they're getting lots of follow-up afterwards as well. But I think sending the recording out, recording it, doing it on YouTube, one of the reasons we upload it, just in case anybody is curious, you can record it and leave it on ReadyTalk, but they charge you for it. Well, you can upload it to your YouTube channel, and you don't have to worry about that. So there's no charge on your YouTube channel, so that saves us a little bit of money as well. What we've done, we've really reactivated some dead leads. As I look at where those dead leads are coming from, interestingly enough, a lot of them are people who registered for Meet the Zors in years past and either didn't show up or, you know, they came to the Meet the Zor and they just didn't move forward. So they're coming back in. We did our webinar in, just as an example, we did our webinar in late February. I had cookie cutters on there, and I have a lady who came to a 2014 Meet the Zor that's in process with them now. So it's getting them back in the active list. I've also seen some spouses and closed a deal last year with an individual that was, we couldn't get his spouse engaged. She wouldn't come in for a meeting. We got her on a couple of the calls, and we closed the deal. We closed a deal with them. So she just had to hear it, so it was a way to get a spouse involved. And also, you know, we're getting some people that they're still sitting on the fence, but they're out there and they're reactivated. So what we're seeing is that they're coming back, and it gives us that opportunity once they register to start that conversation again and just, again, keep the dialogue going. When we first started back in January of 2015, we would get three or four every month registered, and it just, this has been a building process. I think consistently now we're getting 8 to 11, you know, the last couple I think we've had 11 that have registered. The largest number we had was 25. And that was an accountant that I had on in November. In 2015, we did 8 ZORs. I did one that was about semi-absentee businesses. And then in November, I brought in an accountant to do the webinar talking about the tax advantages of business ownership. And then 2 months, one summer month, and in December, we didn't do a lunch and learn. Consistently, we get about 60 to 65 people on the call that actually attend. Again, I think it's the recording is getting them engaged. They are listening. It's a short recording. We are pretty strict about the 30 minutes. Occasionally, we've gone over a few minutes, but we try to hold it to 30 minutes to be respectful of people's time. And we've done a lot of semi-absentee businesses, again, because a lot of these people are still working. So that's a little bit about what we've done. Again, it's an old idea. It is not anything that's brand new, but I think the uploading it, the sending out the recording has really helped us, and the consistency has helped us re-engage some people. So, Megan, do you want to unmute the lines and see if we can get some questions?
Sure thing. Let me unmute you all 1 second.
The conference has been unmuted.
So I'd like to go ahead and answer Stacey Swift's question there. So if Diane, if you want to talk about it, or Pat, describe the lead page.
Lead pages. Diane, do you want to kind of talk about that? That's a tool that we use, and we got that, I think, we learned that from Emily at a couple of conferences ago. But tell us about.
Yeah, I didn't see the actual question, but we use
the lead. She wants to know what lead page is. What is a lead page? What's lead page?
Oh, okay. Well, lead pages is a tool, and it's a landing page that you can direct your traffic to that will get them signed up. Now, FranConnect doesn't have a way to connect with the lead pages, so we use MailChimp. And we collect their name, email address, and phone number, and that way we can put them into the database. So I use it in social media posts, pretty much just the social media, the Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads. When we do those, I'll drive those to the lead page. Does that answer your question, Stacey?
Sort of. Like, where do you find lead page? Is there a website or what? How do you even start?
If you go to leadpages.net, it is a program, and they have templates out there that you can choose from. So it's really easy to build your lead page. They have sales pages, they have thank you pages, they have conversion pages. You can build your it's a landing page, which is something that FranConnect doesn't have to drive traffic actually into your database.
Stacey, Megan has typed in the website for lead pages.
Well, so I guess what's the difference? Because we do exactly what you're talking about here. You know, we do our Change Your Life Over Lunch webinars every month.
Mm-hmm.
So is lead pages really just to advertise it somewhere else?
We were using Eventbrite. It's just a tool. You can use – it's just a tool that we are using rather than using Eventbrite or another type of
Okay.
software. So, you know, it's that's just what we're using, Stacey.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
Okay.
Do we have any other questions about Pat's presentation, about her Lunch and Learn webinars, or, you know, how – go for it.
Yeah, yes. What times are we having them? We do them at from 12:15 to 12:45.
12:15 to 12:45. Mm-hmm. You find that is the best time? Have you tried different times or?
Well, we find that works best. We mm-hmm. did one in the evening, thinking that might be better, and it didn't. We didn't get any different response.
Okay, I did one last evening, semi-absentee at 7. I had 22 people sign up, and only 2 showed up.
Hmm.
So we're disappointing.
The lunchtime, I think, works.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, question. It's Ted Fireman. Do you I just typed this in. You may already see it. I was just curious whether you have ever considered trying to partner, you know, with SBDC or SCORE or anybody else just to – increase the database, the number of people you're inviting to this kind of event?
Well, actually starting the first of this year, SCORE, one of my larger SCORE chapters here, has been sending this out. They've asked us for a flyer, and they're literally sending it out to their database. And we're beginning to get some newer people come in from the SCORE chapter. From their database. Is that what you're asking, Ted, or you're asking would we partner with them to do the seminar itself?
Well, sometimes they like a little – I just thought that might be an enticement. What I really want is exactly what you got. I want them to help reach more people, but I thought I might be even willing to, you know, co-brand it even if I'm paying for it and doing the work. If I have an office that's got a database of 5,000 people that they'll – send it out to. So that's really what I was asking is, are you ever partnering with anybody else? I don't think they would even necessarily need a role in the actual seminar, but, if I have to give them a little publicity out of it, that's perfectly fine.
Sure. We haven't. That's a good idea. We just have not.
Okay. Well,
occasionally, we can look at adding as well. The other thing, too, I would say that we've got my Lee Hecht Harrison, one of my contacts at Lee Hecht Harrison here in the Tampa office, has started sending, she's requested a flyer, and they literally can send this out to their clients, and she started doing that, and we're starting to see new people that we haven't seen in the office at Lee Hecht Harrison start signing up for these as well. So that's been a positive.
Good. That's great.
Anybody else doing anything else that you'd like to share? Suggestions on this? Ted had a good idea. Anything else that you're doing? Stacy, you're doing things on a monthly basis. Tell us about that. There's any?
Ours is very similar to what you're doing. We've been doing them a couple of years now. We call it Change Your Life Over Lunch. And we do ours from noon to 12:30. And the same thing, the Zor presents from, noon to 12:20, and then the last 10 minutes we save for Q&A. And we always have our questions kind of preloaded just in case nobody speaks up. We ask the questions, but it sounds like somebody else is asking them. But, and the turnout's been about the same. We get some that we've had greater turnout on, some we've had fewer, but I think we're probably typically in that 8 to 15 number once a month.
It's Ted again here. I had a chance to listen in on Christine does them in Jack Armstrong's office, and last night she did 2 semi-absentee concepts, and her turnout was disappointing. It was also an evening. It was like 7 o'clock, and 22 people registered, and I think 3 participated, but she said they did do, I forget if it was 2 or 3 deals that she attributes directly to this process. I wondered if Pat and Stacy, if you've also had some bottom line results.
I absolutely have. I had one last year who was, he did in our town. There's a guy that was in my database from a couple years ago. Didn't do anything then, but he listened in on the Our Town webinar that we did, the Change Your Life Over Lunch, and he ended up buying.
I had a floor covering that I did last year as a result of this.
And you're doing a month, you're both doing about monthly, did you say earlier?
We're doing ours monthly. I find that, to me, I think it's been a building process. Stacey, you've been at it a couple of years. A lot of it is just consistency. Don't you think,
Kate? Yeah, we do ours. I mean, we plan them 12 months a year. I think usually there's one or 2 months of the year that something happens and we end up canceling or but we pretty much schedule them 12 months of the year.
So
and
we
I haven't had any trouble getting franchisors to do this. They're usually very willing to do it.
What day do you do it on, Pat? I know Stacy does it Fridays. What day do you do yours on?
We usually do them either on a Tuesday or a Thursday.
Okay.
Have you all, I guess we could reach out to you. You all would know who you have found to be, you know, just effective and articulate in presenting their concept. Because I know from Meet the Zoars, you have some people that are fantastic and other people that, you know, just aren't so good at doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, they're different presentations. I would simply say, you know, if you're starting to do it, you know, start with your horses. Start with those that you're targeting, your franchises. Wouldn't you, Stacy?
Yeah, ours, just because my offices cover several states, we try and look for concepts that have availability in Nevada, Utah, and Colorado. So, because we market it for all of our offices, it's not just Colorado. So we want something that, Sarah Brown in Las Vegas and Carl in Reno and Alexis in Salt Lake City can market to their databases as well. So we can do it one time for the whole office.
We look too. I mean, if they don't have availability in our whole area, we don't use them as well. And Sarah Brown said she did a 4-pack from a dead lead on hers.
Hers was Party Princess Productions. Yeah, they bought the entire Las Vegas metro area, and that was from that our bylaw, the Change Your Life Over Lunch webinar. But Ted, to your question about the presentations, you know, you take your shot, you just take your chance. We've had some that are just phenomenal, and others that, I mean, gosh, I just wanted to pull the words out of their mouth because they just weren't great presenters. But you don't know that until you get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Pat, one more question from Ted. You focused a lot on localizing, and I get that, and I'm trying to do that. I know in the past we've had some opportunities. There was one with Tom Crimmins in Louisville to partner with him on a bigger one, and I think Mike Martuzzo might have a group that participates. But you really feel that, and maybe it's a question as much for Stacy, doing them individually and locally, more localized is important and worth the extra time and expense, and nobody commented on the expense. I was curious about that as well.
Well, my thought is, you know, how many times have you been asked what's the hottest franchise? So, you know, I say these are franchises, you know, we stress these are great national franchises we work with that they want us. They're wanting to move here. So I just use that as an opportunity, and we've made that our focus. Again, my area is smaller than Stacy's. We have the Tampa-Orlando markets, so we're talking about, you know, they've targeted our area as a great area to grow in, and this is just an opportunity. Ted, it really is up to you, and we all find our
own. Good morning, Sarah Brown, Brenda.
Hello.
Hey, Pat. Go on, Pat.
I'm I'm still listening, Pat.
Okay. The other issue I would say is you asked about cost. You know, I have a ReadyTalk account. The cost is in, you know, developing the flyers. I pay, you know, Diane works with me. She does marketing, so it's my admin cost. I use the toll number for ReadyTalk, so I don't have to pay their toll-free charges. And YouTube is free. So other than, you know, the administration of setting it up, there's really not a lot of charge or cost with this.
Oh, thank you. I'll have to call you about that because I didn't realize that. I just didn't realize that. I thought it might be based on how many people participate and how many lines are involved. I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What format, Stacy, do you use? Do you use ReadyTalk?
We use ReadyTalk, but I need to look into that because it's, I mean, I pay for the phone time, and it is, you know, you pay per the minute, how many people are on the line and by the
right.
minute, but it's, you know, it costs me less than $100 every month. So to me, it's worth it. And honestly, it's been my personal thought that we wanted to try and find a way to replace the Meet the Zora events.
Right.
I'm over those. I can't speak for all my associates. I know some of them want to do these, but I don't want to do them anymore, and I just thought this might be a better way. It's so easy for the franchisors. It doesn't cost them a penny. You know, they can do it from wherever they are. It's all online. So as Pat said earlier, they're usually very willing to do it. It's just a great way to, and they get focused on just their concept. When we
right.
first started it, we did it for an hour, and we did two concepts featured each month. And we quickly got away from that and said, you know what, let's just do it 30 minutes over the lunch hour, one concept, and that's kind of how we market it. You know, grab your lunch, sit at your desk, and join us.
Right.
So.
New York
did. I will tell you that we did a Meet the Zora online using this format last year.
Well, and we're looking at that now.
And
we just had our meeting
last March. And we had about the same. I used three Zoras, not six or eight or whatever, and we used the same marketing technique. And quite frankly, we ended up having, I think I had 16 people that were on the line that signed up for my Meet the Zora. And it didn't, again, it was easier to do. It was in 1 hour of our time. And so, and the Zoras prefer this. Any other ideas? Is anybody else doing anything differently? I know some of your, I know you're marketing to your databases. Tell us about what you're doing in addition to these types of things.
And to add to that, what Pat just said, have you found more success with hosting these things online versus in person? And just as Pat said, she brought an accountant on, and the attendance went a lot higher than it usually was. Have you found bringing on certain guests give you more attendance?
From our standpoint, the online Meet the Zora was much better than the last live Meet the Zora we had. We had a lot more success with it.
I have not done online. I'm certainly moving in that direction. I've done a lot of Meet the Zoras, but my territory it's still somewhat of a novelty, so I've gotten pretty strong turnouts. You know, I work hard at it, but I'm still having success, so I'm not going to stop them, but I'm going to do them less frequently because, Stacy, I feel your pain and I double it. I mean, I hate doing them, but I can't stop because they've been successful for me, but they're killing me.
This is Kelly Trim at Leslie Cuban's office of FranNet Atlanta, and thank you so much for sharing this information. I was curious about what type of follow-up you do once you had the people attend your webinar, and what do you do afterwards? Do you call them, email them? How do you get them engaged after the webinar?
What we're doing is after the webinar, we're sending them the recording with a PFA link. I don't know if I said that. So if they haven't, we're sending the PFA link with the recording. And then we're on the phone following up with them with phone calls and emails and so forth. So we keep the follow-up. We, quite frankly, use the Meet the Zor manual that Franet has out there about follow-up and how they're doing and how you're doing with Meet the Zor. So we just adapted that to these.
This is Stacy again. We do differently. So we don't record ours just because I don't want to pay for to house those. I don't want to pay for that. So if somebody doesn't make the presentation and they want the presentation, we'll send them the PowerPoint. But if you go through ReadyTalk does it, makes it very easy, and they separate those who attended from those who didn't attend, and they have a templated email that you can send immediately after your presentation, and you can edit it. So we just go in there and tweak it a little bit each month, and that's how we follow up with everybody. But we just immediately after the webinar, we go to ReadyTalk, to that little section, and we send those customized emails both to those who attended and to those who did not attend.
And we're moving them over to Fran Connect and doing our follow-up that way.
Stacy, this is Diane Marie. And did you hear Pat when she was talking that we actually download the recording and move it over to YouTube, upload it into YouTube, and that way we don't have to pay ReadyTalk to house that recording?
Yeah, I'm going to have actually, our virtual assistant is in Las Vegas, and I'm going to have her listen to the recording of this webinar so she can follow up on all those kind of things that we're not doing. Thank you.
If she needs some help, Diane can, if she has any questions about that, Diane. And we put them in the unlisted, so they're not out there for just anybody to call them up on. They have to be sent the link.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Frank Dunn. Really quick question. I think I heard you guys say earlier that these events have done a really good job of resuscitating old leads, people that were already in your database. Have you done any promotional efforts to encourage new prospects? Or are you doing like Google AdWords campaigns or advertising anywhere?
Yes, we've done the LinkedIn ads and we've done the Facebook ads. However, they haven't drawn a lot of, response. So it's mostly we're reactivating the dead leads. And they're kind of gold in your database anyway.
But I would say that one of the things we wanted to do was get new leads. We're beginning this year to see new leads, and that's because some of our referral sources, like SCORE and Lee Hecht Harrison, are beginning to pick them up and sending them out. Last year, it took us a while to get them to buy into that. And so our original objective was to bring in new leads, and we haven't been very successful. We weren't last year in getting new leads. But I think that, we did in January, I think we had, we had 11 sign up, and if I recall correctly, there were 3 new leads, people that we hadn't touched before. So it's just beginning.
I want to piggyback off that real quick about the LinkedIn and Facebook ads. In a recent office support call, we were talking about how people are promoting on Facebook and LinkedIn. And while the ads kind of tend to be a hit and miss, they actually found a lot of a success was just consistently just sharing updates and then also making sure that they let certain groups that they're involved with LinkedIn know. I know that one of the groups that they were involved in on LinkedIn, they contacted the LinkedIn group owner and kind of worked with him to promote the event coming up so that it was more promoted through updates and talking in the group discussions rather than paying for ads. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I think that's good advice. The other thing, too, is after the LinkedIn calls that we had earlier, the training calls, I tagged everybody in a group. And I know this last time we've started sending emails to people in the groups about our events and things like that. And so we got some response. Still too new to say if that's going to be helpful or not.
Just to add to that, have you guys also experimented with certain enticements? I know, several of us will offer, versions of Street Smart Franchising and Meet the Zor events. Are there any
We haven't offered anything. Stacy, have you?
No, we have not.
I can answer a little bit about that from one of the other office and support calls that I've had. We discussed giveaways as well. And I know that, I believe it was a Meet the Door event where they tried giving away, they said they had like $1,000 worth of door prizes. And that kind of enticed people. And then when they got there, the way that they were entered in to receive these door prizes was they had to go to each table and get like an initial from the Zors. And once they, you know, filled that out and they got all the initials, they were entered into the drawing. And there was something in there. I think there was an iPad in there, other miscellaneous door prizes. But having that as part of the advertisement, just saying that there are prizes, and then having them get there and then have to either go to the tables or do something to get entered into the prize drawing, I think the results were pretty positive as far as promoting that.
But that's difficult to do on an online if we're doing
right.
Webinars and things like that.
That's more of an in-person thing.
I'm curious, you know, on the national webinars and on your database marketing for some of you, how are you getting people to come to those? Is anybody else assigning their leads to groups?
I do. This is Stacy. I mean, all my leads are in a group of some kind.
Okay.
And the national webinar thing, that's really just the we try and do one email a week. You said you do three a month. We do four or five a month, just try to keep it to one a week. And that we do the newsletter at the beginning of the month, and then the other emails each week are just about webinars or local events, so specifically focused on those. And then, like, the Change Your Life Over Lunch, similar to what you said, Pat, we do like to send that out again. Either we do it actually the day before the event. Ours is always on Friday, so we send an email out on Monday, and then we send another one on Thursday, just that week of the Change Your Life Over Lunch webinar, because we find that most people sign up the day before.
They do, yeah. I like your title, Stacy.
We call it SILOL. That's our internal term. That's how we refer to it. But it's Change Your Life Over Lunch.
I like that.
And you're welcome to take it.
Thank you. Well, this is like the Lunch and Learns. We borrowed those from somebody else. This is not a new idea. It's just we all try to grow with these. So.
Do we have any other comments as far as what we've talked about or any new marketing strategies that we've been testing out there that you want to throw out while we're all here?
Actually, I have one last question. Is the word franchise or franchising always in the banner in the promotional materials that you send out, or are there ways to sort of disguise it that, you know, because obviously there are some people out there who have a reaction to what they think is franchising.
Yeah.
This is Stacy. I would say we have started kind of getting away from that a little bit. There was a great article by Franchise Help that, I mean, they did a survey about that, and that people, the word franchise actually has more of a negative connotation, or it's, I don't know, if people just, there's just a misperception or, anyway, so we've started doing it more like, you know, an opportunity or business opportunity, entrepreneurship, different type of things. I wouldn't say we don't use the word franchise ever, but we don't saturate anything with the word franchise anymore.
Okay. And we use franchise, so I'm not, you know, I think that's a good learning for us as well, so.
Just for what it's worth, some of the Score chapters that I work with, you know, the attendance for the franchise workshops that we've done in the past have not had the same numbers as some of the other workshops. So they've come back to us and really try to encourage us to find some creative ways to talk about franchising without directly using that word. Mm-hmm. And so kind of where we landed is on the term business in a box, and we're kind of experimenting with that. At at least in the header, and then it mentions franchise, you know, in the subheader. So hopefully that will get some good results for us.
That's good. I like that. Anybody else?
All right. Okay, so if there's nothing else that we want to say or if there's any other things going on out there, if you have any questions that maybe you thought of afterwards, feel free to email me and I can either put it to the right person or help you out myself. And I want to thank you and Pat and Stacy there at the end to giving us some information about your lunch webinars. And if you have any questions, please let me know. And thank you all for attending.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you.
All right, everyone. Have a good day. Have a good weekend.